Okay, hello. Welcome to the AI Doctor. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Allen. Most medical professionals have given up on AI, minor getting twice as much done in the same amount of time. Today I have with me Dr. Debbie Silber. Dr. Silber is a PhD and the founder and CEO of the PBT, Post Betrayal Transformation Institute, and National Forgiveness Day. She's a two-time number one international best-selling author, and her podcast ranks in the top 1.5% globally. Her research revealed three discoveries that change how we understand betrayal. She is the world's leading practitioner in betrayal recovery. That means physical, mental, and emotional. And she trains coaches worldwide with an evidence-based framework. Debbie, a big welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to our conversation.
So please take me back to the moment that you realized that this was a challenge and something that people needed help with.
Well, I personally experienced betrayal, and I'm one of those people that believes if nothing changes, nothing changes. And here I was, four kids, six dogs, a thriving practice, but I couldn't function. And usually I would go to books or courses or mentors to sort of learn my way out of things. And there really wasn't anything available. So I enrolled in a PhD program. And honestly, it was just to help me heal. It was time to do a study. So I studied betrayal. And that study led to three discoveries that changes everything we know. It changed my health, my family, my work, my life.
Wow. Okay. So your own, I want to dive into this a little bit more. So, in any part of it, so your experience of betrayal, what did that do to you personally? And how long did it take you to figure out that you could do something about this, both for yourself and for others?
Yeah. So it was a family betrayal. And I thought I did everything I needed to do to heal from that. And then it happened a few years later. This time it was my husband. That was the deal breaker. Got him out of the house. And, you know, it was one of those things where I realized I really never took my own needs seriously. Boundaries were never in place. And something dramatic had to change for the sake of my kids. That was really it. And I needed to show up for my clients and the kids and the dogs. And it was really one of those desperate, I need to do something. And maybe not what other people would do is enroll in a PhD program coming off of betrayal, but it was really like I felt like I had no choice. And I enrolled soon after the betrayal. And within 2 years, I was doing the study, and that's when the discoveries showed up. And I was like, well, how do you keep that to yourself? You know, there's a proven, predictable, research-based way to heal from it. And because I'm uncomfortable or a private person or, you know, shy about sharing, I said, no, this is just sort of go big or go home, get out of the way. And so I put the program out, the five stages, which is one of the discoveries, that there are these five stages we go through if we fully heal, into a program. It blew up. Then everyone wanted to work with me. And I was like, well, what do I do here? I created our certification program, and that started doing well and put everything under one roof. And that became the PBT Institute, which has become the world's leading betrayal recovery certification for coaches and organization for transformation research and education.
Wow. Okay. So initially you were a PhD is an interesting way to approach this, but you were really trying to heal yourself.
Yeah.
And then you learned a process that could be used not only yourself, but on others.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, and the reason why I healed as quickly as I did was if the research proved it worked, I did it. If it proved it didn't, I didn't. And I was implementing every single thing we learned. And just even the three discoveries were so interesting. Like the first was that betrayal is in fact a different type of trauma. And so many people, they say trauma is trauma and they treat it just like everything else. And that's why they don't heal. It's so distinct because of the shattering of the self. Like when you lose someone you love, you grieve, you're sad, you mourn the loss. Life is never the same, but you don't question that relationship. You don't question your ability to trust, you know? And like with betrayal too, there's so much shame and humiliation and embarrassment for something that the betrayed never even did. So let's say you lose someone you love, taking that as an example again, people rally, they bring the casseroles, you know, they're showing up. With betrayal, so often the person who's been betrayed is struggling and suffering in silence for something they didn't even do. And then very often they're covering for the betrayer. So here they are, their world just completely imploded. And they're acting like it's a regular Tuesday and the kids are like, what's for dinner? You know, mom, dad, and they're showing up for work. It's such a different experience. And the second discovery was that there, because of the nature of betrayal, it creates these physical, mental, and emotional symptoms. So there are these symptoms so common to betrayal. It's now known as post-betrayal syndrome. We've tested over 100,000 people. The results are staggering. And the third, which was for me personally the most exciting, was while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, and most people do, if we're going to fully heal, we will move through five proven predictable stages. And what's even more exciting about that is we know what happens physically, mentally, and emotionally at every stage. And we know what we need to do to move from one stage to the next. Healing is entirely predictable.
So now I'm really interested, and I'm sure that our listeners are, what is that process? What are those five stages? And how do you help people move through that more quickly?
Yeah. You know, well, I'd love for everybody who's listening, watching, to see it through two lenses. One, if you're a coach or practitioner of some kind, these will be your most resistant clients. These are the ones where you're like, I don't get it. My stuff is good. Why does it work for everybody else and not these people? It's because most likely they're betrayed. The second lens I'd love for people to see this through is if you have a team. You're leading a team and they're not productive. They're not engaged. They seem burned out or checked out. And, you know, you're trying to motivate them. You're trying to inspire them. And you're wondering, why was it that was a key employee or team member? They were, you know, they were creative and productive and morale was good and all these things. And now they're not. Very often, it's an unhealed betrayal. So those are the lenses that we within the PBT Institute, we do our work. And I'll share the five stages briefly so you see it in action right here. Stage one is actually before it happens. And what's happening is when you think you're in what you think is a healthy relationship, you're not scanning for betrayal, right? You're doing all the things that are sort of expected in a healthy relationship. You're trusting. You're going about your business and you're kind of on autopilot, not in a bad way, because the relationship, you're putting the time and the effort in that you feel you need to, and now you're going about all the other things. But what also happens is we kind of either intentionally or unintentionally turn down our intuition a little bit. And we do that because we feel we're safe. You know, we don't feel like we have to scan. And this is one of the reasons why stage two, shock, trauma, D-Day, Discovery Day, it's such a shock to the body, to the mind, to the heart, because we were abiding by the spoken or unspoken rules of that relationship. And there's this part of what we do, which is ruminating, where we're going back and we're like, wait a second, what happened here? What did I miss? And we're doing that because we're thinking, if I can figure out what I missed, I'll prevent this from happening again. Trust is absolutely shattered. You know, that's one of the biggest aspects of it too. And what's so terrifying, and this is where well-meaning, well-intentioned practitioners, coaches will say, you know, you need to learn to trust again. And I wrote the book Trust Again, so I get the importance of it. But they'll say, start with something low stakes. You know, start with trusting a friend. That is so off. And here's why. We have sort of a system that we create to determine trustworthiness. Let's say if that employer, that team member, if that boss, if that partner says or does something 50 or 100 times, whatever it is in our estimation, we can decide that they're trustworthy, right? And now they betray us. Not only is that a shock, we look at it saying, uh-oh, my whole system I've created to determine trustworthiness is fundamentally flawed. I cannot count on my system. So counting on someone else, I can't even trust what I'm choosing for lunch, you see? So this doesn't happen in other traumas. It definitely happens with betrayal. Anyway, so stage two is shock, trauma, D-Day, discovery day. It's the scariest of all of the stages, and it's the breakdown of the body, the mind, the worldview. We've ignited the stress response. We're headed for every single stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease. Our worldview is totally shattered. The bottom has bottomed out in us, and a new bottom hasn't been formed yet. It's terrifying. But yeah. If the bottom were to bottom out on us, what would we do? We'd hold on to anything or anyone to stay safe and stay alive. That's stage three. Survival instincts emerge. This is the most practical out of all of the stages. This is the biggest trap, though. This is where the majority of people get stuck, and here's why. Here's where we create a functional life. We're able to go back to work. We're able to take care of our kids. We're able to do the things, but it's behind walls. There's a flatness to it. There's a safety to it. I'm not taking any risk here in any level of vulnerability with anybody. I'd rather stay behind these walls. So people look at it, you know, as, and very often in coaching relationships, the person's fine. So they end the relationship there. And meanwhile, the coach is out of the transformation that they could have moved that coach through. You know, the leader doesn't realize that person is just surviving. By no means are they at their best. And everybody's sort of coasting. And the longer they're there, the harder it is to leave. And then they're not happy. So now they start numbing, avoiding, distracting. And they do that for a day, a week, a month. You know, now it's a habit, a year, 20 years. And I can see someone 20 years later and say, that drinking you're doing, or that emotional eating you're doing, do you think that has anything to do with your betrayal? They look at me like I'm crazy. They say it happened 20 years ago. All they did was put themselves in a functioning state. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. What do you call this stage three that can go on indefinitely? And I assume that's what you're helping to shorten and get out of. What do you call that?
That's survival instincts emerge. So stage three is the most common place that most people get stuck. And this is where the workforce plummets because they're surviving. They're not creative. Yeah. They don't have the ability. They're anxious. They're all the symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome. They start in stage two. They continue in stage three. So now that employee, this is your most expensive employee too, because you're paying for the stress-related symptoms, illnesses, conditions, disease. They're tamping them down, but by no means are they doing anything other than suppressing and medicating symptoms and just experiencing, just moving through their day. They're not thriving. Yeah. They're just surviving. Yeah. And that's why most people get stuck here. And amazing coaches, I mean, therapists, psychologists, this is where that client will feel heard and validated and understood. And week after week, that's really all they're receiving. So they have a safe place to share. It's actually solidifying their spot in the hardest place to leave, stage three. You see? Mm.
Yeah. It seems to me that so many of us can be there in, you know, different levels. I mean, some people could have betrayal that's so devastating that really lowers where they are. But a lot of us, it can be a background, right? Maybe not. Maybe we're still functional, but we could be even more functional if we let that go. And maybe that's not the right words, but if we get beyond it, if we can really forgive, right?
Absolutely. And it's the thing, it's almost like you've been wearing foggy lenses for years. You don't even know you have them on. Yeah. But it's when you move into stage four, stage five, that you realize, oh my gosh, you know, a simple example, and I want to definitely get you to stages four and five. It's like, let's say there are two best friends and they're 30 pounds overweight. They're both fine. It's not stopping them from doing anything. They're still able to put themselves together, look good, feel good, do all the things. But then imagine one day one friend says, you know, I'm just so done with this weight, and decides to go on this new healthy eating journey and exercising and all the things. Loses the weight, feels great. She, let's say it's two women, now has everything that whatever that weight meant for her, the energy, dressing in clothes that she wants to wear versus what fits, whatever. And she says to the other friend, it's so good over here. And the other friend says, I'm fine. And the truth is she has no idea what that feels like. That's the difference. Anyway, if someone is willing, willingness is a big word right here, to let go of the small self benefits, all that staying stuck has given them, and it gives them a lot. They can grieve, mourn the loss. Do they need to do a bunch of things? They move to stage four. Stage four is finding and adjusting to a new normal. And here's where you acknowledge, I can't change what happened, but I control what I do with it. Very forward moving. Who am I now ready to become? What do I need now? What was I settling for? What have I outgrown? This new version of me that I'm intentionally and deliberately creating, what do I need? You know, what types of people do I want around me? It's very deliberate. And when we've settled into this space, we've made it cozy, we've made it kind of mentally home, we move into the fifth, most beautiful stage. And this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. The body starts to heal. Self-love, self-care, eating well, exercise. We didn't have the bandwidth for that earlier. Now we do. The mind is healing. We're making all kinds of new rules, new boundaries based on the road we just traveled. And we have a whole new worldview based on everything we see so clearly. And when you picture now, let's say you're a coach and now you've moved that client to stage five, look at the referrals and the testimonials and the high fives, you know, here. Or if you're a leader and you've taken your workforce now, look at the engagement, the productivity, the health, the morale, right? Most people are struggling and surviving in stage three. And when you're able to move them through stage five, it is the results in whatever you're doing. If you're a solo entrepreneur, it doesn't matter. It's exponential.
Yeah, I see that. Absolutely. So the couple questions here is about results. I'm kind of going to break this up. And so you discovered these five stages during your PhD program. And then you did research then, and I want to hear about that research and that really convinced you. And then I want to hear about what results you have since then. So since your 2018 PhD program.
Yeah. Yeah. So the three discoveries showed up during the study, because I wanted to study, you know, when you're doing a PhD dissertation, you have to find the gap in the literature. So you have to scour all that's out there to see what hasn't been studied yet. And I was always very interested in the upside of something. I don't want to just sit and deal with the dark side. Like, well, let's find the upside. So originally, I was studying betrayal, the deeply before, during, and after, deeply lived experience of betrayal, and like what happened to someone after that. And it was betrayal and post-traumatic growth. And for those who aren't familiar, post-traumatic growth, I kind of look at it as like the upside of trauma, how any trauma, death of a loved one, disease, natural disaster, whatever, leaves you with a new awareness, insight, perspective you didn't have. And what was so interesting was PBT, post-betrayal transformation, was a new term I coined, because with betrayal, not only do you rebuild your life, which is the invitation with post-traumatic growth, you rebuild the self. So when you rebuild your life and you rebuild yourself, that equals post-betrayal transformation. You are a completely different person. Anyway, so that was what we found. And then with post-betrayal syndrome, that was discovered. And since then, we've tested over 100,000 people. So what we've seen is just staggering. And then how many people we've moved through the five stages. And with each coach now that we certify who moves their clients through the five stages, we see, you know, we see how that person started and who they've become, if they're willing to move through it. It's not easy, you know, but it is the most transformative work someone will do.
And so share some of the results. So people tend to get stuck in this without the help.
Yeah.
And with your process, what kinds of results are you seeing in these patients? How do you measure those results?
Yeah. Well, you know, if they don't move through the five stages, that's the majority. But if they're willing to move through the stages, it's guaranteed they're going to experience, like, it is so common for us to see new levels of health, new passion projects, new businesses or new relationships, either with the person who hurt them in a very different way or with someone entirely new. They weren't ready for that. I'll even use myself as a personal example. And just to close the loop on my story, healing and rebuilding is always a choice. Whether you rebuild yourself and move along, and that's what I did with my family, wasn't an option to rebuild with them. Or if the situation lends itself, if you're willing, if you want to, you rebuild something from the ground up new after death and destruction of the old. And that's what I did with my husband. So not long ago is to completely transform people. We married each other again. New rings, new vows, new dress, and our 4 kids as our bridal party. I'm a bright woman, and never would I do something nearly that dumb if I didn't completely rebuild myself, and for sure if he didn't either. Betrayal will show you who someone truly is. It also has the opportunity to wake them up to who they temporarily became. Not that you need to do anything with it, but there's tremendous potential and opportunity if you want to. The PBT Institute, that was a stage 5 thing. Marry my husband again, that was a stage 5 thing. National Forgiveness Day and all the everything else, those were all stage 5 things. You don't have access to any of the other things, any of those really good things when you're stuck in your trauma.
Yeah. And so we talked about stage 3 could go on forever. Stage 4 is kind of a quick shift. It's recognizing that awareness that then brings you into stage 5. Is that the right way to think about it?
There's no set time limit. It really has to do so much with the willingness, with someone's willingness, with someone's intention. There are so many other factors, but stage 4 doesn't necessarily need to take long at all, to your point. But it's how incentivized is someone to looking now towards who do I want to be? What do I want to do? What am I ready for? Some people are gung-ho. They're all for it. Other people are like, you know what? I want to sort of dip my toe in, take my time with this, see how that feels. So that's what could shorten it, the time frame or not. But stage 3, I mean, I remember working with, there was this one man I was working with, that this is when we had clients coming into the PBT Institute. And his betrayal happened 40 years ago. And this is such a common experience, but I'm going to share with you how I worked with him, because sometimes, but really, logic has nothing to do with healing from betrayal. And that's why the smartest people get stuck, because they're so used to using their logical, rational mind. That's what got him through all kinds of other jams, but not this one. So one day I said, do you have a calculator? Because he was just so stuck in stage 3 for 40 years. He said, I have my phone. Okay, pull your phone out. How long ago was your betrayal? 40 years. 40 years ago. Okay. How many times a day do you think about it? I don't know, 10, 20. All right. For how long? I don't know, 10 to 20 minutes. Okay. Have you ever come out of it with any insight, nugget of wisdom, anything useful? No. Okay. Let's do the math. Now, I am no mathematician, but it came out to something like 5 years. So really, it's essentially like you took 5 years, did nothing more than put yourself in a cave somewhere, come out with illness and disease, and you have nothing more to show for it than that. Now, here's the thing. Without it changing, you can continue this, or this could be the first day that something changes. Most people live like that.
Yeah. And what kinds of results are you seeing with your clients? How fast does it take them when you start working with them to move into stage 4 and stage 5?
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I'm only working with a few people at the highest level in our Transform program. So, and my coaches as well. But I remember when I was working with them, and now our coaches are working with our clients, but are working with their own clients. But it has so much to do with, especially if there was a lot of childhood trauma that was never processed, that, you know, there's a lot of undoing that has to happen there, a lot of rewiring, a lot of old beliefs. You know, we have these beliefs that are formed, and it's no more than the repetition of an idea from someone we trust. And we just fuel them. We assume that they're correct, even though, right, they were just said from someone else, doesn't make it good or bad, right or wrong. True or not, but it makes them ours. And so they become our beliefs. And if we have between 50 and 70,000 thoughts a day, and let's say we have a belief of I don't matter somewhere in our subconscious, and we're fueling that 30, 40,000 times a day, right? It just takes some unwiring to do. But also one of the biggest misconceptions with healing is people think, oh, I'll just deal with it at a mental, emotional level. This is, you know, the issues are in the tissues as well. So the somatic body-based healing has a lot to do with it. You really have to address it from every level because betrayal impacts us on every level.
I love what you're doing. I feel this as so important for transforming humanity. It's like all of us. I don't think there's anybody who lives on this planet for, you know, more than a couple of decades that doesn't experience some form of betrayal. So it feels very important to me. Quick question about,
yeah,
how do you bring it back to what I'm working on?
Yeah.
How do you see AI playing a role in what you're doing and improving what you're doing in the future?
You know, what AI has done for the PBT Institute and me personally is do some of the back end stuff that takes up a lot of time, but doesn't give us a lot of ROI. Like my time is best spent speaking with you, right?
Yeah.
If I were working on admin tasks and I couldn't be out there sharing about these five stages and what we do, it would be a huge disservice. So we use AI in that way to do more of the back stuff. I mean, I'm sure at some point one of my coaches will be maybe representing me, you know. But at this point, it's me. So yeah. I want to get getting as many coaches certified, getting as many leaders to understand this. So that's how the five stages can just be shared exponentially. But anything that I don't need to do besides our team, if AI can help with that, that's time well spent.
Yeah, yeah. Immediately from my experience, what I see here is an opportunity to effectively amplify your message and the depth of your teachings so that coaches can learn a lot faster and use those teachings a lot faster as they are working with their clients.
Love that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to follow up on that. I can help you with that.
Sounds like a plan.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. So quick question. So again, you're now, to be clear, you have scaled this business. You started off helping yourself, then helping others, then realizing this was such a big problem. How do you scale it? Now you coach coaches. You train coaches to do this, and you train business leaders and HR leaders to do this. Okay. So what kind of promise do you make to a client, a company, or a coach that starts to work with you today?
Yeah. Well, the coaches will see it in their clients. Their clients won't leave at stage three. They don't end the relationship there. So even from a financial standpoint, they're working with that client for longer and taking them through stages four and five, which is the most fun part anyway. So they're seeing that. They're experiencing that with every client. They move out of stage three into stages four and five. They live that on a day-to-day. With leaders, they're seeing it in their numbers because we share with them the post-betrayal syndrome assessment. And we have them do that with their team and take it, you know, they take it at the beginning and then they'll take it at the end. They'll see the numbers. And these are things that no one else is testing. You know, they have people who come in speaking about stress or speaking about psychological safety or speaking about trust. Well, all that started with betrayal. So, and these are our, you know, our numbers, our assessments. So this is what we're going into companies with, and they see where it began.
Wonderful. This has been so fantastic learning this, and really such an important problem that you have figured out, you have brought light to, just even in my own understanding here. So where can we go, myself and our listeners, to learn more about you, about your process?
Thank you. Everything is at the PBT, as in post-betrayal transformation, thepbtinstitute.com.
Fantastic. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for joining me today. And everyone, I appreciate you tuning in. I'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you.